One thing that every teacher wants more than anything else in their classroom, aside from bright students, aside from capable students, but even more than that, a teacher wants students who want to learn, motivated students, students who are going to do what it takes to make sure that they're able to succeed in the class and to be able to, who yearn for more knowledge, who desire more knowledge, who are thirsty for knowledge. The Gemara Maseches Pesachim Daf Kuf Yud Beis tells us that Rabbi Akiva was zocheh to one particular student who had this midah, who had this quality. But the Gemara tells us actually what was a very sad story, that Chamisha Dvarim Tziva Rabbi Akiva Es Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai K'shei Chavish Beis HaSurin, that there were five things Rabbi Akiva requested from Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai when Rabbi Akiva was in jail. Amlo Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, Lamdeni Torah. Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai asked Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, please, just teach me Torah. Amrlo Rabbi Akiva, Eini Melamedcha. And Rabbi Akiva said, sorry, I'm not going to teach you Torah. Amrlo Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, Im Eina Tom Melamdeni, Ani Omer Li Yochai Abo Mosarcha Lamalchus. Very strange comment. One would imagine Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai would say, please, Rabbi, teach me Torah. Ki Em Chayenu V'Yarchemenu, it's the most important thing. I can't live without Torah. The person that can't survive without Torah. Ein Mayim El Torah, and you can't live without Mayim, etc. But no, what does Rabbi Shimon Yochai say? If you don't teach me Torah, I'm going to tell my daddy on you. Ani Omer Li Yochai Abba U'Masarcha L'Malchus. I'm going to tell Yochai, my father, and you know what? We're going to master you. We're going to master you to the king. And then you're going to die. Essentially is the threat. When you master somebody, who knows what the king is going to do to him? Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, heartbroken, says, Bini, Yoser Mimasha Ha'egel Rotza Linak, Para. So do you think I don't want to teach you Torah? Do you have any idea how much, how badly I want to teach you Torah? Do you have any idea how much I desire to be able to give over Torah, to be able to teach Torah? I just can't do it in this situation. I've already been jailed for teaching Torah. What's going to happen if I continue now? The consequences are too great. Of course I want to do it, and believe me, I want to teach you even more than you want to learn. The whole conversation was so strange. What kind of threat was he issuing? How could Rabbi Shimon Yochai expect Rabbi Akiva, who was jailed for teaching Torah, to risk even more and teach more Torah? What kind of threat is that? I'm gonna tell my father on you, and then my father's gonna go and master you. What is that mutter? Someone fails to teach you Torah, you let it go and master him? What kind of conversation is this? A very difficult Gemara to understand. Furthermore, relating to Sfiras HaOmer a little bit, relating to Lag BaOmer certainly, the pasuk tells us when Moshe Rabbeinu goes and gets the Torah, Alisa Lamaram Shavisa Shavi, that he went up to Shemayim and he brought back a captive. Shevi, referring to the Torah. But the Chida comments that Shevi actually stands for Shin Vez Yud, Shimon Bar Yochai. Gemara Shabbos, Daf Pei Tes, understands this pasuk as a reference to Kabbalah Satorah. Kishalom Moshe Lamarom, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, the angels argued, Ma Enosh Kisis Kerenu, Tenei Hotcha La Shemayim, why would you give the Torah to human, to mankind? Why would you give it to a human being? Leave the most glorious possession of God up in Shemayim where it belongs. But Moshe won out, and he brought back the Torah, and that's Shavisa Shevi. So in what way is the legacy of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai connected to Kabbalah Satorah more so than any of the other Tanaim were connected to Kabbalah Satorah? All of the Tanaim and Amoraim were Chachmei HaMasorah. They all were critical links in the transmission of Torah Shebal Peh. So why is it that Dafka, on the pasuk that describes Moshe Rabbeinu receiving the Torah for Klal Yisrael, Shavisa Shevi, the Chidah sees an allusion to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. The Chidah sees a reference specifically to this one Tana. What is it about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai that reflects this idea of Kabbalah Satorah more so than anybody else? So in order to understand this, it's important to understand Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's role in our Mesorah Satorah. The Gemara Mesach HaShabbos Tav Kuf Lamed Chesem and Beis tells us, Tan Rabbanan, Kishe Nichnesu Rabbaseinu Lekerem B'Yavne, when the Rabbanan went to learn in Keren B'Yavne, the old Keren B'Yavne, Amru Asid the Torah Shetishtakach MiYisrael. They said, you know what, the Torah will one day be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. And how do we know the Torah will one day be forgotten from Klal Yisrael? Shenemar, it's a pasuk. It's not Divrei Nevi'us. I mean, it is Divrei Nevi'us, but it's a pasuk. Pasuk in Navi. Hine yamim bayim num Hashem Elokim, v'yishlachti ra'av ba'aretz. Lo ra'av lo lechem lo tzema lamayim kim l'shmos, tzvar Hashem. It's also a good Karabach song. That there's going to come a time where there's going to be a hunger in the world, and there's the hunger is not going to be for bread, and the thirst is not going to be for water, but to hear the word of God. People are going to be thirsting and hungry to hear the word of God, but they're not going to find it. They're going to go from one end of the world to the other and look for Torah, and it's not going to be found anywhere. People are going to be starving for Torah. They're going to be thirsty for Torah. It simply will not be available. Tanya says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Omer. When Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai heard this, his response was, Chas v'shalom shetishtakach Torah miYisrael. God forbid that the Torah should ever be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Shenemar, Kilo sishkach mi pizara. Pasuk says the Torah will never be forgotten from our children. Elamani mekayim yishotetu levakish tzvar Hashem vol yimtzu. So what do I do with the pasuk that says that you're not going to find it? Shal yimtzu halacha brura mishum brura makam echad. It must mean you're not going to find the halacha brura mishum brura makam echad. That the level of expertise of Torah is not quite going to be the same. But God forbid, no way, Torah is never going to be forgotten. Chas v'shalom. Now Rabbi Shimon Yochai's response is a little bit strange. Chas v'shalom shetashtakach Torah miYisrael. That's an emotional response. That's not an intellectual response. Right? The Rabbanim came with a drasha. They had a pasuk. Pasuk says, Hine yam banu Hashem elokim v'shlachti rav ba'aretz. Lo rav l'lechem lo tzema l'mayim kim l'shmoz tevar Hashem. It's very clear in the pasuk that there's going to be a famine. We're going to be starving for Torah. It's not going to be available. So if he had a kash on the pasuk, maybe he should have asked the kash on the drasha. If he had a proof the other way, maybe he should have brought a raya the other way. What kind of phrase is it? Chas v'shalom, God forbid, the Torah is going to be forgotten. What does that accomplish? That doesn't contribute to the intellectual debate even a little bit. What kind of, okay, good, so you're emotional, it's upsetting. Of course it's upsetting. Half of what the Nevi'im have to say is extremely upsetting. Nope, we have to live with it. So Chazal understand the Pasuk in Iyov, V'sig zaroma v'yakam lach v'al derechecha noga or, to mean as follows, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gozer v'tzadik mevatel, tzadik gozer v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu makes a gzera, and a tzaddik could be mevatel such a gzera. A tzaddik makes a gzera, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu fulfills the gzera. Essentially, we can accomplish the impossible. God might have plans for Shechachas HaTorah, and there may be an often a raya in a pasuk that God does have a plan for Shechachas HaTorah. But by the power of the Ora Torah, the tzaddik Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was able to say, we're going to prevent it, chas v'sholem, not under my watch. Torah is not going to be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. One might have thought, why do we need to continue growth and learning? It's all going to be lost. One day it's all going to be gone. It's a skill that has no future. But Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai gets up and he says, no, chas v'shalom. We prepare for a future that doesn't seem to exist. We set up an infrastructure for Torah to thrive, and you know what? It will thrive, because we'll will it to thrive. And when we desire it and will it to thrive, the Ribbono Shel Olam tzaddik goes there, v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes there, and tzaddik mevatel. And we're going to be mevatel such a decree, that the Torah should be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. And the Medrash in Devarim says, Ma ra'a Shlomo l'lamed la'atzel min ha'namala, Rabbanan Ami Anamala Azu, the Gemara Darshins, the Medrash rather Darshins, Shlomo Melch learns from an ant. What does he learn from an ant? So it says, think about this ant. Ein lechaya el shisha chadashim. Its entire lifespan is 6 months. Lama, because shemisha ein lo gidim vatzam, el lechaya el shisha chadashim. It doesn't have any bones, it doesn't have any sinew, so it's only going to live for 6 months. V'kol ma'achala ein elechita umechza. And in 6 months, what does an ant eat? An ant eats 1.5 stalks of wheat. Via seeds of wheat, I would imagine. Vihi holeches umachneses bekayitz kol ma shemotzei chitin usaorin vaadashim. And what does an ant do all summer? It schleps food and more food and more food, way more than it's ever going to eat in its entire lifetime. Amrav tanchuma vekol chaya ina elachito mechza vikoneses eselu. Its entire life, it's only going to eat 1.5 chitin, and yet it brings in all this food. V'lama hi also kain. Why does it do this? Sha'amra, because the ant says to itself, Shem yigzar alay HaKadosh Baruch Hu chayim, v'yeh limuchan le'echol. Who knows? Maybe I'm going to be the lucky ant that lives for 3 centuries. And then I'll need all this food. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, Ma'isahaya u'matzo b'bar shala shalosh me'os kur, ma'ashem echneses min ha'kayitz l'charef. They once found in an ant hole 300 kor of wheat that are collected from the summertime to the wintertime. Leficha chamar Shlomo, leichel nemala atzal re'ed racheha v'chachem. That's why Shlomo HaMelech says, a lazy person wants to learn a piece of Musar, let it go to the ant and take Musar. You look at the ant and you think, it's crazy, what's it doing? Why is it gathering all this food? What purpose is there going to be for this food? Where is this going to get him? And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai looks at the ant and he says, that's exactly what we're supposed to be. We do our job. We prepare for the best. We prepare for a future that simply does not yet exist. And ultimately, God will follow through. We develop the infrastructure. We fill up that ant hole with all the food, with all the infrastructure of Torah, that one day, to one day be able to feed all the starving Talmidim who are going to be looking for Torah. And God will bring those Talmidim. And God will allow for that infrastructure to flourish. Rav Schechter told me once that he had spoken, he had met someone who had learnt in the Rav's Kollel in Boston in the early 1940s. And he had asked the person if the guy had good notes from the Rav's Shiurim, publishable quality notes. Because after all, Rav Schechter said, from all the Rav's years in YU, there are plenty of guys who took very good notes and they were able to publish many of the Rav's Shiurim, but they had tapes, etc. But when it comes to the early stuff, when the Rav was teaching the Kollel of Mitzuyonim, of really outstanding Talmidei Chachamim, no one had anything. They don't have a record of what he said in those shiurim. So he asked this fellow, he asked this elderly Jew, does anyone have publishable quality notes? Do you know if anyone took anything like that? And the man told him that you have to understand what the mentality was at the time. Conventional wisdom of the time in Boston in the early 40s was that they were going to be the last people ever to learn Torah on a high level. What's the purpose of taking notes? Who's ever going to care what Rav Soloveitchik had to say about Ashur Rambam? Europe was burning. Nobody in America cared about serious Torah learning. There was no future for Torah. And that was the attitude of the time. But there were a few Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's who said, Chas v'shalom shetishtakach Torah Yisrael. Not under our watch. Torah is not going to be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. We simply will not allow it. And you had a Rav Aaron Cutler and a Rav Moshe Feinstein and a Rav Ruderman and a Rav Soloveitchik and others who wouldn't hear of it. Torah was taught on the highest levels. Who was it taught to? Very often to empty classrooms. Very often to people snickering on the outside, pitying people for making such a futile effort. There's no future in this. But they built an infrastructure. And they started to teach Torah. And slowly but surely, a future that didn't seem to exist began to take shape. And the Ribbono Shel'Olam saw fit that those efforts weren't in vain. The Sforim point out that the Pasuk of Shimon Ben Yochai quotes to say that Shalot Tishtachach Torah Yisrael, to prove that Torah will not be forgotten from Klal Yisrael, Kilo Sishkach Mi Pizaro, Kilo Sishkach Mi Pizaro, for it will not be forgotten from his children. And the Sofei Tevis of that Pasuk, Ki is Yud, Lo is Aleph, the last letter of each word, Tishkach is Ches, Mi Pi is Yud, Zaro is Vav, spells out Yochai. Very often, when we refer to somebody as Ben Ploni, in Tanakh and in Chazal, we refer to them not only because that was their father's name, but because it symbolizes what the person is really all about. Right? Kalev ben Yefuna. Kalev ben Yefuna. Chazal say his father's name wasn't really Yefuna. How do I know his father's name wasn't really Yefuna? Because the Navi tells us that he was brothers with Othniel ben Kenaz. So how could a guy named Othniel ben Kenaz be brothers with someone named Kalev ben Yefuna? They're not brothers if they don't have the same father. So Chazal say, no, Kalev ben Yefuna means Ben Shapana Me'atzas Meraglim. Yefuna means that he turned away. He's someone who had the Koach, the Gevura, to turn away from the Yetzer of the Meraglim. Ben Yefuna doesn't mean his father's name was Yefuna, and very often, Ben something doesn't mean what that's what the person's father's name was. It means that they represented a certain idea, that they epitomized a certain idea. We have that numerous times in Tanakh. The examples are there are dozens of examples. A Ben Torah or a Ben Aliyah are so called because of who they are, not because their parents' name are Torah or Aliyah. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the Ben Ki Lo Sishkach Torah Mi Yisrael, Mi Pizaro. That was his life's mission. It's not only that his father's name was Yochai. No, it's more than that. Yochai represents his life's mission. Ki lo sishkach mi pizaro. He was the Bar Yochai. That's what he represented. That's what he was meant to accomplish. That was his mission in this world. Rabbi Akiva had certain knowledge that nobody else of his generation had. Only he would be able to pass on the Chachmas and Nistar. We learned in Maseches Chagiga Daf Yedalid that Arba Nichnasu LePardes, and only Rabbi Akiva emerged unscathed. Only he was able to see this incredible spiritual vision and come out okay. There was nobody else who can pass on the Mesora of a Maisa Merkava and of what goes on up in Shemayim besides for Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai goes to Rabbi Akiva and he says, Rabbi, lamdeini Torah. Teach me Torah. And Rabbi Akiva says, Eini melamedcha. Don't you see that nobody that they're killing and jailing, that there's nothing, no reason to teach you Torah. They're killing and jailing people who learn Torah. Don't you see it? We can't continue to do this. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai responds, Chas v'shalom. We have to carry on even when it seems impossible. If you don't teach me, Ani Omer Liyochai Abba Umasar Chalamalchus. I'm going to tell Yochai, Lo Sishkach Mi Pizarro, and he won't accept this. The Melech HaOlam has been gozer that the Torah should not be forgotten, and you're being gozer to forget it. Umasar Chalamalchus, I'm going to master you to Malchus Shemayim for this rebellion. It's a rebellion against the idea of Yochai, against the idea of Ki Lo Sishkach Mi Pizarro. And based on this, we understand the Gemara that we mentioned earlier very beautifully. When Moshe goes to receive the Torah, the angels ask, what's the purpose of giving the Torah to man? What's he going to accomplish with the Torah? Man can't fulfill the mission outlined in the Torah. And Moshe comes and takes the Shevi. It's the Koach of Shimon Bar Yochai, who says that we have a right and a responsibility to plan for the impossible. You're right, it makes no logical sense why human beings should be capable of keeping the Torah, and of observing the Torah, and of learning the Torah, which is so ruchni. And we live here with all the Yetzer Hara and everything that we have to deal with down here, and all the Gashmis we have to deal with down here. And the angels couldn't understand it. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Shevi, I'm going to take a Shimon Bar Yochai. I'm going to take the attitude of a Shimon Bar Yochai. I'm going to prepare for the impossible. And that allows Moshe to come down with the Torah. And the same is true when it comes to setting up any sort of major accomplishment in infrastructure in Torah. Look at the architects of the great yeshivos in America and Eretz Yisrael. They started with nothing. They started with a lot of people snickering at them, with people telling them that it can't be accomplished, people telling them nothing could be done. I know from my own personal experience, a number of years ago, I was sitting, I used to learn the Daf Yomi, I still do learn the Daf Yomi every day, almost every day, with my chavrusa of Shalom Rasner, and we were learning, we started with Maseches Krisos. So we were learning the Daf Yomi for a few months, and then it was coming time for the Siyum HaShas, after a few months of us being involved in learning the Daf Yomi. And we were sitting in the Beis Medrash, and Rav David Willig Shlita came over to us, and he said, "No, so you guys are going to start Daf Yomi Shurim in your shul?" And we both said, "Look, we have small shuls." His was a little bigger than mine, but we have small little shuls. Well, what are we going to start? You know how much time it's going to take us to prepare? What are we going to start the Daf Yomi for? We're going to start saying a Daf Yomi Shir so that people can come and learn Brachos Daf Beis, and then everyone's going to drop out, and we're going to sit there talking to ourselves the whole time, and we're going to have no one to talk to. What's the point? We're going to wake up at 6 o'clock every morning for waiting for somebody to learn with, or maybe having a one-on-one if we're lucky enough to have one person there. Didn't seem to make any sense. It seemed like it was a pipe dream. What are we gonna? Our balabatim are so busy. They come home so late from work. Who has time to have the dedication to learn the Daf Yomi? And it didn't take very long to realize, once we set up the infrastructure, once each of us set up a shir in our respective shuls, to realize how terribly wrong we were. You set up the idea. You set up the notion. You give the infrastructure. You put it in place. And the Ribbono Shel Olam sees to it that Klal Yisrael is going to be thirsting for Torah. And Klal Yisrael comes and is going to yearn for Torah and is going to want Torah. And Chavrusa more so than myself, just in terms of the amount of people that he's been able to touch and he's been able to reach, and he's been able to teach with his Daf Yomi when he started putting it online. And it's incredible. The amount of reach that our Torah has. That someone started, if you just have the vision, you just have a little bit of, say, you know what, I don't yet know exactly how this is going to work, but if it's an initiative in Torah learning, then we're going to go after it. Then we're going to take that initiative. And who knows where it's going to take us. If David Willick had that foresight, that's the koach of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. As we go into Lag BaOmer, and we try to put our finger on exactly what Lag BaOmer is all about, as we prepare for the Yom Tov of Shavuos and what the connection is between Rosh Hashanah and Lag BaOmer and Shavuos, think this is the idea to keep in mind. The idea that even when it seems impossible, if there's an initiative in Talmud Torah, we take advantage of that initiative. And who knows where it's going to take us. Sometimes the accomplishments are going to be beyond our wildest dreams.